This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiology Extended Learning Series, featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You are about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, we'll have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access on your mobile device, and each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/ACCEL. Listen now to a talk Richard Chazal had with Dr. Michelle Graham, Professor of Medicine at the University of Alberta, Faculty of Medicine and Dentistry in Edmonton, Canada. They review aspirin in patients with previous percutaneous coronary intervention undergoing non-cardiac surgery, the POISE-2 PCI substudy.
Welcome, Michelle. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Give us a little background about the original POISE-2 study.
This is an important field in medicine because 200 million patients a year will undergo non-cardiac surgery. And of those, about 10 million will experience a serious vascular complication. This can lead to mortality, increased hospitalization, and increased costs. And the original POISE study was done to determine whether aspirin would be effective in reducing death or myocardial infarction at the time of non-cardiac surgery.
That was a pretty big study, was it not?
It was. POISE-2 randomized just over 10,000 patients from 135 centers in 23 countries. It was a 2x2x2 trial of aspirin, clonidine, and placebo. And overall, it showed that aspirin had no effect on the primary endpoint of death or MI, but did, in fact, cause an increase in major bleeding.
So this was sort of all comers. Some of these had had PCI, some not. Were all of the patients in POISE-2 patients who had coronary artery disease, or did some not have coronary disease?
So they were all at risk of vascular disease. The only about 2,000 patients in POISE-2 had actual documented previous coronary artery disease.
So that's very helpful because POISE-2 told us that in general, if we took all comers, probably better to discontinue aspirin because it didn't provide any great benefit, but then did increase the risk of bleeding. Now, you've followed that up, though, with a sub-study of people who had PCI. That's the POISE-2 sub-study we're talking about today. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's correct. And the reason we wanted to pursue this was because clinicians frequently encounter patients with a previous PCI who are now undergoing non-cardiac surgery. When POISE-2 was originally designed, we actually didn't think that many clinicians would enroll patients with a previous PCI in it, but it turned out that 470 patients were enrolled, and we felt it was important to look at the outcomes in these patients.
Fantastic, because this is something that I certainly encounter every week in my practice, someone with a prior PCI that needs to undergo some sort of non-cardiac surgery. What do you do with the aspirin? So tell us a little bit about the trial, but really what happened?
These patients were enrolled in POISE-2. They were randomized to either aspirin or placebo. The aspirin group had two strata based on whether or not they were previously taking aspirin at home or not. But they were basically randomized to aspirin or placebo on the day of surgery and then daily thereafter for 7 days if they had previously taken aspirin, at which point they went back to their home aspirin dose, or for 30 days if they were not previous aspirin takers. The primary endpoint was death or MI at 30 days, and follow-up was 99.9% complete. And what we found was significantly different than the results of the overall trial. So for the patients with previous PCI, the rate of death MI, so the primary endpoint, was significantly reduced in those taking aspirin compared to those who were not. The hazard ratio associated with the primary endpoint was 0.5, and the p-value was statistically significant.
And what about the bleeding in that group?
That's a very important question because obviously bleeding is very important in non-cardiac surgery. And we found that while aspirin increased the risk of major bleeding in the overall trial, there was no increased additional risk in this subgroup of patients. So the p-value was non-significant, suggesting that the results of the overall trial best represent the outcomes in those groups.
Wow, so this really is a distinct group than perhaps those that had PCI and influences us. And so the benefit then in the PCI group outweighs that risk that you saw in the original study where it looked like there could be problems from bleeding.
If you look at it, for every 1,000 patients with a previous PCI who undergo non-cardiac surgery, it looks like aspirin in the perioperative period will prevent 59 MIs and cause 8 major bleeds.
Well, that's really important information. Now, Michelle, I know that you're an expert on guidelines. You've helped direct the Canadian guidelines. Is this sort of information already incorporated into your guidelines? And if not, is it something that might alter the guidelines moving forward?
The most recent Canadian guidelines for perioperative medicine were released in October of 2016, so obviously before we had completed the sub-study analysis. So in those guidelines, we have recommended that patients discontinue their aspirin because based on the results of the overall POISE 2 trial, the risk of bleeding really outweighed everything else. Now that we have this new information, I think it's going to be very important to go back to the table and do an update for our guidelines associated with a knowledge translation push so that clinicians can understand that these patients with previous PCI are a special group of people that need to be treated differently.
One of the things that I'm certain you've discussed before is that the N here in, at 400 isn't very large. On the other hand, it's a tough group to analyze. I was interested in your comments earlier that you didn't even expect these to be randomized, and it was happenstance, happy happenstance, that we get this information. So if someone were to ask me, gosh, this is based on only about 400 patients, what would my reply appropriately be?
There are not a lot of randomized data for these patients. We know from observational data that they are at higher risk of perioperative complications. And while 470 patients isn't 10,000 patients, it is the largest randomized trial data for this group of patients. It's also extremely biologically plausible. It makes sense that aspirin will help these people. So we think that it's an important finding.
This is fantastic information, and it helps, I think, advise all of us who see these patients on a regular basis. And your point is well taken. It's hard to come by this sort of data, but it may influence what I tell my patients next week in the clinic. So, Michelle, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking with you, and thank you for your information.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/accel.